the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As birds go, sparrows have little value. They are numerous as the stars and can be bought for almost nothing. That's the world's view of things. But God's view is entirely different. What people consider insignificant, namely the birds of the air, lilies of the field, hairs of one's head, God deems important. How foolish to think that God should concern himself with such insignificant matters. But our text says that he does. In fact, one sparrow falls to the ground. God knows about it. Without his consent, he doesn't fall. And even the hairs of one's head have been counted by him. God places value on such things. Insignificant sparrows. What about you and me? Yes, we are, Jesus says, more special than many sparrows. Why are we so special? Somehow, on the day of our baptism, God said, "You are mine. I created you in your mother's womb, and now I am recreating you to be my special disciple, my valued disciple." Most of us did not hear those words then, but thanks to some loving parents or other caring people, we heard them later, and our baptism began to have more significance for us. We are indeed God's special people, called out of darkness into the light, the marvelous light of his grace and power, to be chosen vessels in this world, in this dark world. If only the specialness of our baptism would remain with us forever. It isn't that God has expelled us, that we are no longer in tune with the specialness of being God's children. Whatever the reason why many lose their identity as a child of God, that needs to be rediscovered. So how do we do that? By becoming like the teacher, like the master, Jesus says. To become like Jesus, we need to study the scriptures. This is where 2 Timothy helps. He encourages us, Paul, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." To learn from Jesus is to study his word. Secondly, what is indicated in our text is suffering for the sake of the gospel. The words following our text, Jesus says there that I may have to suffer at the hands of my own household if I take up my cross as his follower. Jeremiah echoes this. James writes, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete." Ponder these words. When this teacher sends out his disciples, he is not the spoiled ruler who demands that they suffer so that he doesn't have to. When this master sends out his servant, he does not demand their death so he can live. He tells them they will have to suffer just as he suffers. A servant is not above his master. If the master suffers, the servant will suffer too. But the master is greater, and so his suffering is greater as well. Far greater. For those disciples and for you, the master suffers at the hand of supposedly righteous men. He is arrested. He's falsely accused of all sorts of sins that he is not guilty of, but you and I are. He accepts these in silence, and he allows himself to be beaten and scourged. He's hung on a cross where supposedly good men mock him and ridicule him. But this is only a little bit of his suffering. The greater portion does not come from righteous men, but from his Father in heaven. His Father who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The Son does not deserve, for he has not sinned. We deserve this punishment, for we constantly sin against God. But there at the cross, the Master takes the place of his servants. He is suffering hell for your sins. God the Father destroys his Son to fulfill the law, to inflict the punishment our sins have merited. But here is your salvation. God destroys his Son so that he might forgive you instead. We study. We suffer. Thirdly, we are special, and as Jesus urges us to share. What I am telling you in the dark, you must repeat in the light. And what you have heard in private, proclaim on the housetops. It is what moves us to tell the story of God's love with enthusiasm over and over again to anyone who will listen. How this love impacts us, our lives, and the lives of others. There is something special about being privileged by God to be that kind of witness for Jesus Christ. That's what this week is all about. VBS is all about sharing. Fourthly, our specialness lies in our serving. Jesus talks about a relationship of a slave to a master. He suggests servanthood as one of the marks of his specialness. And just as Jesus came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many, we too are to be servants as his children. Too many in the church today want to be served rather than serve. They are consumers, takers, not givers. They seek to satisfy themselves. It is fabulous, they think, to have a God who will guarantee them success. That piousness is ruined at the cross, where Jesus calls us into servanthood. Where does our specialness lie? Finally, it lies in us being secure. Jesus seems to be saying in our text that there is security by being acknowledged by him before his Father in heaven. And there is insecurity in our being denied by him before the Father who is in heaven. Too often our security is sought in being acknowledged by men and women of the world. And when that falters, we falter. The problem is that when we get wrapped up in being accepted by the world, we lose sight of the fact that God's accepting grace is all we need to be secure in life. Like Peter, we often take our eyes off Jesus and sink into the sea of insecurity. But thank God, that's not the end of the story. The real message is that when we falter, Jesus never takes his eyes off of us. In his compassion, he says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" As he rescues us, and then he promises to acknowledge us before the Father who is in heaven. This acknowledgement is repeated in Revelation. Our Lord says, "In the presence of my Father and of his angels, I will declare openly that they belong to me." How can you be any more special than that? Consider this then, the words of Jesus in our gospel: "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." God the Father keeps track of sparrows. He knows when one of them falls to the ground. Dear friends, here is your comfort. You have been purchased, not cheaply for a penny. No, you have been redeemed not with silver or gold, but with his precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He has purchased you in this way that you may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. This is most certainly true. And so we have God's law and gospel this morning. We are to faithfully proclaim his word. If we fail to do so, we sin, and we face his eternal, unforgiving wrath. However, as we proclaim his word, we also hear the sweet sound, "Your sins are forgiven," because Jesus has suffered God's wrath for you at the cross. To paraphrase Luther a little, when tempted to cave into the intimidation of his enemies, Luther envisioned an angry God speaking law. "Why did you fear me more than them?" However, instead of such an unforgiving accusation, the Lord in his gospel presents a gentle coaxing. "Has anyone else died for you to take away your sins? Has anyone else shed holy precious blood and endure bitter suffering and death that you may be his own forever? I have. I forgive you and give you eternal life." This is the time of the year when many kids go away for summer camp. They have various camps of many kinds during the summer. One boy went away to a summer camp. He was sent away by his parents for a week-long camp. They do all kinds of activities during this week that an urban, suburban young man never gets to learn how to do. Archery, horseback riding, camping, swimming, you name it, out in the wilderness. As sometimes happens when boys get together, he got out of control and he broke a toilet. He broke this toilet and he knew that his parents would find out and maybe he would have to be sent home and maybe he'd never get to come back again. Well, the camp counselor knew that he wanted to teach the boy a lesson, but he knew that he had to pay for this destruction that took place. And he told the young boy that you have to pay for this toilet. Well, the young boy had no money to pay for what he had done. And he went through the week in terror. What will I do? How will I ever pay for this, for what I've done? Well, the rumor went through the camp in the last day, in the last service. Each camper came forward with a dollar to pay for this young boy's mistake, his destruction. And who do you think held the offering plate but the little boy? And in tears, he gave the money to the owner to pay for his sin. And that boy was free to go home to model forgiveness. His sin had been paid for. The price has been paid for. A price far greater than sparrows. Because that price has been paid, and you can be certain of this. You are forgiven of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.